So I found all the files for this episode and I'm not sure why it was deleted, but it was. I can't tell if I just never uploaded it or I uploaded it and then deleted it, but I feel like I did upload it because I'll get into why I know that later. But it was on my episode guide, on my website, but I couldn't find the actual episode in the actual podcast feed, so I wasn't sure what happened. But anyways, so I decided I would just put it back together and add some additional me and upload it again. So here we are.
Do people still say, like, what's up when they first talk to someone? Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure you would have noticed, but I'm not exactly what the kids would call current. I don't know if they're saying that either. Regardless, hi.
It should be noted that there will be a probably quite noticeable difference in sound quality and things like that because I recorded the original version of this podcast in 2017, when the stuff I used to make podcasts was not quite as advanced and fancy. But, you know, it'd be like that sometimes.
God loves a trial. Perpetual pretend passion. Comb through the doubting that she can't untangle this knot. He tells me he loves me all the time. Just a little more, hiked forever and smirked down. Life turns out the light. Add a bit of conditioner. He secretly loves when I nag him. She has fixed school shoes, war wounds from the angry pavement. Can't accept defeat, triumphant over bad highlights. He's still mine after 31 years. Her lashes look good until the truth lashes her world. She watches him go and the concealer goes with him. Shit. I think we've all kind of been in situations with somebody who kind of takes the entire thing for granted, you know? Somebody who just thinks that everything will always be fine because how could it not, you know? But I think sometimes people delude themselves into thinking that somebody can be happy with everything being the same and that people don't need change and everything will be fine if you keep thinking it will, but it's just not realistic. It's just not realistic.
Hi, it's 2019 me. Back in the days when I used to be really vague about what things were about. Not that I'm about to be any clearer about that one, because reasons. It would get me in trouble. But it was a fun thing to write. I had fun with it. It's fun being a little shady sometimes.
I made friends with the medicine cabinet. I asked him to take me away from the house that built me. And I asked it why the house went deaf every time I went to the door to tell it my troubles. He told me she had dreams for me, stuffed in her ear like wax, and I couldn't push the truth in if I tried. So I just lay on the kitchen floor, watching the waves of the washing machine, the way I used to when I was a child. And he placed a pill, one for each year we'd been friends, on my tongue until it was full, and he took me away from the house that built me, and it fell to the ground. When I was about 11, I remember somehow getting my hands on the GCSE anthology, which had Carolyn Duffy and Seamus Heaney and two other people that I forget. Gillian Clark and Simon Armitage, there we go. And I remember I used to sit in front of the washing machine and just read them. It was actually my aunt's book, but I would sit and I would read it and just wait for when I actually got to study those things in class instead of not being able to explore poetry. We didn't really get to do that kind of stuff until we were older. I was always interested in reading it. I never really thought about writing it until I was sort of around 14 or 15. And that was... God, that was bloody ages ago. I'm so old.
That bitch thought she was old then. Jesus, woman. You think you got problems? Wow. Actually, do you know what? Thinking about it, I call myself old all the time, but I mean, really, in the grand scheme of things, I'm not. Like, I could be way worse. Like, you know what? And is being older really that bad? It's weird. When I was a kid, I used to really look forward to it, and then now I'm like, oh my God, I feel my youth slipping away every second. Like, I don't know. It's very dramatic and stupid, but I don't know.
I've never been in love before. I'm sure that my heart tap danced for the sake of art when you were close. Our fingers, our schedules, our lives braided like a bracelet, and no time at all. Too soon to be real, I'm sure. I stayed up all night to deny that I had drowned in your eyes. I slept in armbands. I'm sure the two are unrelated. I questioned my reflection, unable to keep my eyes to myself. I'm sure I may be unsure of how much longer I can deny that maybe I'm in trouble, heaven, pain. Wait. I'm sure I'm in love. I wrote that last poem along with another one for the upcoming issue of Anarchy Zine, which is themed around love, which obviously is something that I literally never shut up about. So you'll be able to read, I'm sure, which you've just heard, as well as another brand new and hopefully very exciting poem entitled Sunday, because, well, it doesn't get much vaguer than days of the week, and vague titles are my specialty.
2019 me checking back in. As you can tell from the slightly improved sound quality, I still do vague titles. That's still a thing. They're just much longer now. I noticed that a couple of months ago when I was sort of doing the finishing bits and pieces for my latest book, which Of course, I'm obliged to remind you, you can now purchase on Amazon, iBooks, Barnes & Noble, just lots of different places, on my website too. But anyway, the link's in the description, as you will probably know. But yeah, I was working on the contents page and I looked at some of the titles and I just thought, fucking hell, these are long. Like, these are so long that if I were an Insta poet, I could claim that just the title is a poem in and of itself. But, oh, that was shady. I do that a lot more these days. but I'm really into long titles recently. It's nice. But yeah, still very vague titles, because, you know, I think it adds a bit to the mystery, you know. Because, I mean, they're connected in my mind and in my head. I know exactly what they mean, but, you know, I don't know. I guess maybe they feel vague when you first look at them. But once you read the poem and you kind of get a bit deeper and more, you know, involved in, I guess, the universe in which the poem takes place, they kind of make sense a bit more and they become less vague. Which didn't happen so much in 2017 with some of the titles I used. So, I mean, yay, character development.
It wasn't a mutual breakup. Your dick was as small as your ambitions, and I was tired of watching you jumping under buses instead of simply saying, I'm sorry. And those are the things I was too polite to say until now. Until now. You know, I used to go out with somebody, from the outside, it looked like a really good relationship, but it was drastically unhealthy, you know. We would argue, like, every day, and I think, to be honest, we were arguing out of frustration because, you know, I'm not too sure either of us actually wanted to be there. And one of the things that still annoys me to this day is that whenever we would have an argument, and it would get really bad, and I would ask him to go away because he didn't live with me, and so I'd say, look, can you go so I can have some time by myself? He would legitimately say that he was going to throw himself under a bus on the way home. And I mean, that's really screwed up. It always worked, of course, because I'm not gonna sit there and have someone's death on my conscience, but God, it was awful. It was just agonizing, you know, just because then he'd be sat there and I just have this resentment in my head, just like, you're literally just here so that you don't die on my watch, mate. Like, if you think we're having a cuddle, you've got another thing coming, love, because that's not happening. But I think it doesn't help that I'm an Aquarius who quite likes being alone. So, you know, when you deny me that after having the nerve to argue with me, it's just takes the piss, really, doesn't it? But, I mean, it didn't work out. And that's fine, because, well, I'll just write myself a new boyfriend who's not absurdly manipulative, and that'll be fine.
Do you know, I don't think I ever actually used that poem for anything. I don't think it's in one of the collections on my website. I don't think it's in any of my books. I think I literally just read it on a podcast and then forgot about it. I might redo it at some point, you know, sort of look at it from a fresh perspective, because I don't feel as angry at the person that I wrote it about as I did then 2 years ago. And I don't know why I was angry at him at the time, actually, because I hadn't seen him for a while and he hadn't really done anything to piss me off. So I have no idea. So maybe I'll do that. Or maybe this will be one of those things where I say that maybe I'm going to do it and then I just forget about it and do something else. I guess we'll see.
His mane as good for hangovers. With its hair, like a dog, bites focus until it's clear. Her voice is good for nonsense. Sickly, syrupy sweetness. Empty as the forgotten bra on the floor. His hands are good for changing. Soft claws for softer padding, weaving love while permitting lust. Her stomach is good for breeding. A million mutant moth-looking butterflies perch on the lining and flutter the fantasy. His body is good for timing. At the chime of her cries, past the hand she was clutching, he arrived.
I actually wrote that when I was at university, but I just sort of forgot about it. I have notebooks full of things that I've written and never bothered to actually do anything with. So if I ever run into long periods of writer's block, that's not really a problem because I just have just oodles of stuff that I haven't either put into one of my books or put onto my website or into a video. Well, that's a thing. I have a YouTube channel now. I have a YouTube channel and I've put up some videos. So you can look at that if you want. It's the usual username. I always use the username Miss J Squared because, well, you know, it makes sense if they're all the same, right? Because otherwise it gets confusing. You know, and also, I vaguely understand the concept of squared numbers. It's like the only bit of maths that I really remember. So it's my attempt to show off that I can do maths. I'm not just an English person. I can do that too. I can't really, so nobody asked me to do anything vaguely, you know, mathematical, because we're all going to see it fall down and that'd be embarrassing for me. But yeah, I mean, I've got just notebooks full of stuff. And I wrote that. I was on the tube, on the Victoria line, if I remember correctly. And because I used to take the long way home from Greenwich, what I'd do, it was absurd, and I have no idea why I did it. I suppose I just like being out of the house, you know. So I go from Greenwich up to Tower Hill on the DLR, and then I would get the tube from Tower Gateway. I may be getting those two the wrong way around, but never mind. And I get it down to Victoria, and then, oh, I wouldn't have been on the Victoria line then. The point is, I took a really long way round just to get back to New Eltham when I could have just taken a bus, which took half an hour. But it made me feel like I was a proper Londoner who knew all the places and went to them all and whatever. So I had a lovely time nonetheless. But I probably spent absurd amounts of money on it, of course, because, you know, tube costs money, and I was a student, so it's probably not my wisest decision, but I had a good time anyway. And I wrote loads of stuff, obviously,
because that was before, you know, before the tube had Wi-Fi and all that fancy stuff. Yeah, back in my day, you just sat and wrote absurd poetry in awkward silence with everybody else. So it's a better time, a simpler time, if you will. But yeah, so, you know, if I ever just sort of start coming out with stuff, maybe I wrote it this morning, or maybe I wrote it like 5 years ago, and I'm just pretending it's new. You'll never really know, unless I tell you.
Wi-Fi on the tube is actually shit. Still, in 2019, it's quite shit. Like, I don't know, maybe I'm just using it wrong. But for me, it only works when you're like in the station bit, and only some of them. So, I mean, feel free to correct me if there's another way to do it where it works all the way. I don't know. So when I go on the tube, I still just sort of sit and awkwardly write poetry in silence. So, I mean, although sometimes I play BitLife because you don't need the internet for that. And it's really fun, and I like just like getting all my characters in trouble and having scandalous lives. So I guess that's the major change, you know, with 2 years difference, is now I have another little thing to do when I'm on the tube, avoiding eye contact with people.
That's the thing about me, I'm sure you'll remember. Pressing matters. Sincerely is how I am my letters, but never how I live my life. I get a little sick of telling you I'm sick in every sense of the word. I promise I mean everything I say, except what I type and what I tip from my lips. But I probably love you. God knows why. That isn't critical, although this is critical to you. But everybody makes mistakes, and I guess that was yours. I'd really like to be one of those girls, you know, the type in the land army of love. I dream of digging down to my core and letting you, well, actually probably not you, but somebody, anybody, teach me how to grow. Sadly, my hands are only good for directing dreams, and I'm not quite sure you've made the cut, kid. Don't sit on my couch, and don't call us. We won't call you either, but as I said, this isn't critical. I wouldn't believe me, though, if I weren't paying attention. But everybody makes mistakes, and I guess that was yours. I think maybe it's possible for me to go out with someone at the moment, and I'm really frightened about that. I'm also very wary of trying to make sure there are absolutely no details about who this person is out there at all, because of an incident that happened when I was at university. Interestingly enough, I discussed something along these lines on Tumblr, and the person got really uppity, even though I didn't really mention their name as far as I remember. So I've always sort of been very conscious not to identify anybody, because, you know, anyways, so I don't know, this guy kind of, I mean, he's left the decision up to me, which was a terrible mistake on his part, but I mean, if I tell him that, he's going to think I'm absolutely mental. I'm more mental than he already thinks I am, but I don't know. I'm not good at these things when they actually confront me in real life. Like, I'm great at sort of writing it down and planning out all these dramatic things and what have you, and turning them into creative endeavours. But when it's actually in real life and it's happening, and it's like, oh, what if I actually went on this date? What if then after that I went on another one and another one? And then what if I had a boyfriend? Like a proper one, you know, that I that I talk to on a regular basis, and that I, you know, and then what do I do then, you know? It's kind of terrifying, really, isn't it? You know, trusting somebody, but also allowing them to trust you. And, you know, do I have what it takes to give them what they need? Do I have what it takes to allow them to be a part of my life? Or am I just going to be weird and self-destructive again? Probably. Because it's all I know how to do, you know? But it's never gonna be any different unless I figure something out. And you know, it's not that I want everything to never work out. God, I would love for it to work out, but I mean, it's just getting there, you know? Jesus, it's so stressful. I mean, in the end, I'm probably not gonna do it, and it's not because he's not lovely, because he is. He's lovely. I don't know, maybe that's why I can't. Because I'm the worst. But I mean, he likes me, so maybe I'm not. I guess maybe we'll find out.
I actually did eventually go on that date. Nothing really came of it, which at the time I was kind of disappointed about. But, you know, looking back now, I'm happy that it didn't. Because through the magic of social media, which is, you know, it's weird how things change. Like 10 years ago, this wouldn't have been possible and I never would have known any different. But I found out that the message that he sent to me, you know, where he, you know, kind of said about, you know, he thought I was really great and he wanted to go out and whatever. He had sent, I'm paraphrasing by the way, but he had sent pretty much word for word to somebody else I knew. And I found that out through social media. And I am assuming that he may have done the same to other people. And it just kind of cheapened the whole thing. And I just thought, oh, so it wasn't that you thought I was special, that you liked me. It was literally you were just trying to get a date with literally anybody. I'm saying literally a lot, but, you know, it's late at night and I'm kind of feeling tired now because I still record these at really inappropriate times. But anyway, so he was just trying to get anybody to go out with him. It wasn't that there was anything special about me. It was literally, you know, that thing where people just, you know, send every single available message out and hope for the best. And when I look back at the time that we did go out, it kind of makes sense. Like, because we had talked for a little while before and he, when we actually met up, there was quite a few details about me that he got wrong. And now I think about it, somebody that had liked me for a long time and then got the courage to ask me out and then gone out with me or whatever would probably know those things, and they would know, do you know what I mean? But it, you know, it was like, now I look at it and I say, well, he probably had me mixed up with another girl that he'd been talking to, and messaging and then took out or whatever. But then I just thought, oh, you know, it's fine, you know, it doesn't matter, it's okay. But now I look at it and I'm like, he probably had you mixed up with another girl he was talking to. That's what it was. You know, it wasn't this cute, you know, oh, he forgot, but that's okay. I don't mind talking about myself because I'm a crazy narcissist. But now I'm like, nah, he had you mixed up with someone else because he was probably taking out a bunch of people. And I mean, I guess that's fine. I don't know. It's not something for me. It's not something I would do. But I just think if that's what you're going to do, you should be honest about it, you know. And I felt that when I found out about the whole thing. And I still feel that way. I think if you're going to do that, be upfront about it. Don't make somebody feel like you're approaching them because there's something specific about them. If you're just doing it because you're trying to find somebody and you're taking out a whole bunch of people and you're talking to a whole bunch of people at the same time, just say, you know, don't masquerade it as this very personal, intimate thing if it isn't, you know what I mean? Is that unreasonable? Is that crazy? I don't know. Anyway, I think that this whole thing may have been the reason why this episode was lost or deleted. I'm still not sure. I'm pretty sure it was uploaded at a point. And I know that because that was one of the only details that he actually got right about me, kind of, but not really. because this whole thing kicked off because he messaged me on Twitter. And actually, the first time he messaged me on Twitter, I pretty much ignored the message and hoped that the whole situation would go away because I didn't know how to deal with it because it was weird for me. But then he messaged me again and, you know, he said that he still, you know, liked me and whatever, and if I wanted to meet up and, you know. And so I was like, oh, I don't know, maybe. But then I talked about it on my podcast and he sent me another message and was like, I heard your podcast, still like to go out with you. And you know, it's weird actually. The last sort of 6 or 7 dates I've been on with people, all of these people have listened to my podcast before they've gone out with me. And I feel cheated because I don't have that resource. They have, you know, almost 60 episodes of podcasts that I've done that they can listen to and find out all these different things about me. They've also got a huge website where I've got lots of information about me and lots of things I've written and lots of projects I've done. They've got all this information about me and I've got fuck all about them. I've got like a Twitter account maybe, or an Instagram or a Facebook if I'm lucky. And even then, not really. It's fucking scam. Anyway, but yeah, so that's how I'm pretty sure that I did have this episode uploaded at some point, because he had listened to the podcast, so it must have been uploaded at some point. I have a feeling maybe I took it down for that reason. Maybe. But I don't know. I don't think it would have been that, because, I mean, let's face it, I've left way worse up. I don't know, but that's like the only logical reason I can figure out. The only other thing I can think of is a couple of months ago, I went through all the episodes because they added a new feature on the stuff I use, so that you could number the episodes and divide them into like seasons and things like that. And I wanted to do that. This was still way back when we were on season 1, by the way. So actually probably wasn't a couple of months ago. It was probably a year or so ago. I don't know what I'm saying. Anyway, and so I went through and I cleared out, like, on the bit where I have all the episodes, I cleared out some of the episodes that, you know, had been, like, cause there was some that I've sort of recorded half an episode and then gone off and done something else and never finished it. So I removed those and stuff like that. And maybe I deleted this one by accident. That's also a possibility. I don't know. But yeah, the long and short of it is it was gone, but now it's back with added commentary. How exciting for you. but I did get some, you know, some comments. I even got some quite recently, asking about that situation and what happened. So for those who were curious, it went nowhere, but there was some sort of additional drama and scandal. Well, not really scandal, but you know. So yeah. I hope that I have satisfied your thirst for knowledge on that one.
No tempting draught this winter. Spent some days fixing the doors. Mistakes in autumn couldn't be helped. They settle in for the winter. She decided it wasn't his fault. Bert still shivers this winter. Fireplace is not what it was. He slips. Hazard of winter. He slips right out the door.
On the original episode, I actually did not add any sort of additional commentary for that poem. When I used to, you know, way back on season one and right at the beginning of season one as well, I used to just sort of read poems, and then if I felt that I wanted to add something, I would. But I was, at the time, I was kind of like, I would just pick up one of my books or I'd pick up my laptop and just find a poem and read it. There was no structure to what I was doing. Whereas now, I wouldn't say it's super structured, but I, you know, I have a script and, well, not like a script, more like an outline. You know, I will have an outline of which order I'm going to read things in and, you know, sort of notes of what I'd like to talk about and things like that. So it's just a lot more focused, or I don't know. Whereas at the time I didn't. I would just, you know, find something and I'd be like, yeah, fuck it, I'll read it. And so there are quite a lot of the old episodes where I would just sort of read sort of two or three poems back to back without anything else in between. Which I don't tend to do anymore. So, yeah, so there was nothing after that. I think it was just, after that was just the end of the episode. But I remember writing that poem a long, long time ago. I think it was the first one to use the title Winter, and now I have lots of things that are titled Winter. I've got a few poems that have the word winter in them. I have a song with it in as well. So, because I wrote a poem based on my song Winter Girl for my latest book, and I was gonna just call it Winter. But then, because when I title something now, I'll just have a quick look through my website, see if there's anything with the same title, and I'll have a quick look, you know, through my books and just sort of double check. So now, if I title something with the same title, it's intentional. It's not an accident anymore. But I had to look through and I thought, okay, I've really used that too much, so I'm going to give it something else. It's just kind of weird that was the one that really kicked it off. But it's actually, and I'm going to keep it vague because that's my brand, but it was about the same person that a beauty school graduate, which is the first one, was about partly. So, but I think they were both written at separate times. I guess I had a lot to say about that situation.
Discover the new poetry collection, Old Brownness is Back by Jennifer Wong. Available now at all major book retailers.
And now it's time for bed. Thank you so much for listening, and a special thank you to my friend Amanda for being so supportive and lovely. If you want to find out more about me, or you want to read more of my stuff, or you want to be friends or whatever, the best place to get started is probably my website, which is jenniferwan.com, and you can find all the information there about my writing. You can find all the information about my books, all my other projects, and a whole very big archive of all of my writing as well. And my blog too, that's fun sometimes. As well as all my contact information, obviously. You can email me at jennifer@jenniferwan.com. And you can find me on social media, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Tumblr, and now YouTube, with the username @MissJSquared, or however you put a username on all of those platforms. As I mentioned earlier, I now have a YouTube channel, and I will be uploading as regularly as I can. There will be lots of different things happening there, so that'll be fun, I hope. Is there anything I forgot? I don't know. It'll probably be fine. I'll see you next time. Good night, my love. All of that is pretty much the same as the ending segments I do now. I mean, yeah. I don't really use Twitter as much anymore. Like, I still have, my account is still there, but I haven't really used it all that much because, I mean, you know, Twitter is kind of terrifying at times because, you know, Nazis. They're all over the place there, I'm telling you. There's also been, right, I don't know if you know this, there's been a huge influx of paedophiles on Twitter as well. I'm not even joking about this. They're there because they all got kicked off of Tumblr when Tumblr decided that they were actually going to do something about the fact that there was a bunch of people posting child porn and things. So Tumblr was like, right, we're having none of that. But Twitter was like, yeah, fuck it. We've got white supremacists. We've got anti-Semitic people. We've got Islamophobic people. We've got, you know, rapists and shit. Fuck it. Bring on the paedophiles. Because, I mean, I don't know. Who needs standards, right? Anyways, so Twitter is a bit, you know, bleak these days. But I've still got an account if you feel like following me. I don't know. I do use Instagram a lot still. I post sort of on the main feed whenever the mood takes me, but I post stories like pretty much every day, if that's fun for you, I don't know. YouTube I don't use as much. It's weird because when I made the original podcast and I think it was around the time I sort of started regularly uploading to my YouTube channel and I was doing sort of a video a week on there. I'm now doing 2 videos a week, but I tend to upload them to my own website. The donations that I get through things like Patreon, PayPal and Ko-fi and stuff pay for stuff like my website hosting and shit like that. So I have, you know, the fancy stuff. I'm, you know, I can do that. So I upload the videos to my website instead because well, lots of different reasons, but one, it's a central place where they all are, you know. So if YouTube falls apart as a platform, which it really looks like it might do, I'm fine. All my content is safe. I know where it is. It also means that I don't have to stick to any rules. I can do what I want because, you know, who's gonna tell me I can't? Me? No. So thank you to everybody who does donate to my work and to my projects. It really helps me to be able to create new stuff. So I'm very grateful for that. But YouTube as a platform, it's really, I don't know if I should, do you know what, fuck it. I just think it's frustrating both as a content creator and as somebody who just watches other people's stuff, because with YouTube fucking about with things constantly, you know, to try and essentially squeeze more money out of other people's work, because let's be real, that's what it is. If it weren't for the creators on YouTube, YouTube would not make any money whatsoever. Because, you know, if there's no content and nobody is sending traffic to that website, then, you know, nothing's going to happen, right? You know, what are advertisers going to pay for if no one's going to see the ads, right? But, you know, YouTube is being quite stingy with those kinds of things. And they're constantly fucking about with the algorithm and with the way things work. So what that means is that creators are having to essentially make a choice, you know. Do you want to create content that you're passionate about and that interests you and that will interest your audience, or do you want to make content that is going to go viral and make you a decent amount of money? Because you can't have both, really. You know, even from creators I really like, some of them I'm noticing that they are essentially just jumping on trends and just, you know, creating stuff based on drama and things like that, and, you know, kind of piggybacking off of conflicts with people that frankly I don't give a shit about, because it's the only way to make commercially successful content. And in a way I get it, because when you're a creative person, obviously if you want that to be what you do full time, you have to think of ways to make it profitable for you, because you know, exposure, passion, and dreams do not pay bills. But when you reach a point where it's so blatantly obvious to your audience that the only reason you're doing it is to make money, then it's just kind of like, well, what are we doing this for? And I feel like I can literally feel that from a lot of different people on YouTube. And it feels like as a platform, they are almost encouraging that of people. They are encouraging people to make this kind of content where it just kind of goes in a circle. You know, one person will do something bad and then everybody has to talk about it or make it into some big thing. And then it just goes round and round and round. And essentially, what a lot of YouTube content is now is people talking about other people, talking about other people, talking about other people. Or it's like stuff like pranks and, you know, basically everything on the platform really is just stuff with the intention of going viral. It's challenges, it's, you know, pranks and, you know, stuff that's just blatant clickbait. And I just sort of look at it and I think, really? Okay. And so, you know, I don't really, you know, engage with it very often anymore. And I have my own platform to put my own work on. So it's like, okay, well, I'll just go over here and do what I'm doing then, you know. So I tend to just put my videos on my own website. Sometimes I'll put it on YouTube if I remember and I can be bothered, but that doesn't happen much anymore. But my YouTube channel is still there. If again, it's like Twitter. I'm, you know, I don't update as much, but it's there if you want it. So, God, that ended up as a long ramble about the state of YouTube. I think the other problem with YouTube, oh God, I'm going on, is just sort of their openness to allowing their platform to be used for radicalization. I remember a couple of years ago, there was this big thing because ISIS were using social media to recruit and radicalize people. And there was this big scandal about it because it was like, you know, do these social networks not realize what's going on? You know, the world's most prominent terrorist organization was able to use things like YouTube, Tumblr, Twitter, Facebook, and things like that to, you know, not only to post content about their activities as a terrorist group, but they were able to reach vulnerable people and, you know, radicalize them and then recruit them to work for them and to join them. And there was all these think pieces about, oh, we can't let this happen again, this is really bad. And all the social media platforms were like, oh, this is really bad, but we're taking care of it, don't worry. But now we're in the same place, you know. Not just with things like ISIS. To be honest with you, I don't know the state of ISIS's social media at the moment. Just in case anyone from the Home Office is listening, I'm not one of their followers or anything. I'm not sitting there checking what they're doing on their Snapchat story or whatever. But, you know, there are a lot of, you know, for example, the far right have really sort of gotten to grips with social media, especially YouTube. And that for me is disturbing. I mean, I thought we'd gone over the whole thing about not letting, you know, fundamentalists utilize social media to radicalize people. I thought we'd done that, but apparently we haven't, because YouTube, specifically YouTube actually, because a lot of the other social medias are kind of waking up to it and being like, okay, maybe we should do something. It's taken them years, but whatever. But YouTube are still fucking it up, and I'm like, how? Literally how? It's crazy to me. I don't get it. You know, there are just straight up like white supremacists making money through YouTube's partner program. How the fuck does that happen? How? Literally how? Like, you know, I've seen, you know, blatantly racist or, you know, anti-Semitic or Islamophobic videos that have been monetized on YouTube. So they're literally making money from things like inciting racial hatred and shit like that. And I'm like, is this your platform, mate? What the fuck? It's fucked up. It's so fucked up. I can't believe it. But yeah, that's delightful. I don't even remember how I got onto rambling about YouTube. Oh yes, I was talking about the ending segment from my old podcast. And of course the new additions, the new things I'll tell you about. You know, I'm on the SoundCloud. I'll do that. I'm like a SoundCloud rapper, but like not at all like that. I don't rap. I'm not good at that. But I post my music on SoundCloud sometimes, you know, just to give people a little preview of things I'm working on. So, but yeah, all the links for that are in the description anyway. Yeah, do you know what? I'm umming and ahhing like I do when I do the ending segment every week. But I've already done one. So I think you all know where to find me if you need me. So until next week, good night, my love.